so much for joining us today. We're just having a few IT issues. So my name is Andrea Robles from the Office of Research and Evaluation at the Corporation for National Community Service, and our office's objectives are to support our agency's mission by building knowledge on civic engagement, volunteering, and national service. We conduct in-house research, but also fund research through competitive grants to researchers, scholars, and dissertators at institutions of higher education and support research and evaluation of our programs and grantees. Our webinar series is one way to share our ongoing research and findings. Vibrant communities and a vibrant democracy are based on strong community engagement and participation. And as an office devoted to building knowledge around these topics, we are also looking to highlight cross-cutting research from a variety of disciplines that broadens how we define or impact civic engagement across the United States. Today, we have the pleasure of collaborating with our National Endowment for the Arts Research and Evaluation colleagues, who will describe their initiatives regarding place-based art, civic engagement, and community impact. But before we begin, we'd like to cover a few housekeeping items for Adobe Connect.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for your patience as we get started with Adobe Connect. This webinar will be recorded and posted online following the presentation. Unlike previous webinars, there is no dial-in phone line. All audio is broadcast over the internet using your computer speakers. All participants will be in listen-only mode until the question and answer session following the presentation, at which time you can ask a question using your computer's microphone by using the raise hand feature from the menu above. You can also ask questions at any time during the presentation by using the Q&A or chat box below. As mentioned earlier, this webinar is being recorded, and if you have any questions or experience any technical difficulties, please let us know using the Q&A or text boxes below. I believe that takes care of all of the housekeeping items. Back to you.
Okay, thanks, Janelle. And just one more housekeeping item. Here at CNCS, we have our annual Halloween party going on at the same time as our webinar, and we have asked folks to keep it down in the hallway. But please be patient if it gets a little bit out of control, and we will try to put that on mute. So our format today will be as follows. We have a new guest speaker that was not on the announcement, and he will do a quick introduction of the work. And that is Dr. Stephen Wolf from the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University. Dr. Stephen Wolf is a physician and director emeritus of the Center of Society and Health at VCU. Dr. Wolf has published more than 200 articles and concentrated on public policy issues and partnerships with colleagues and institutions devoted to population health and social justice. Dr. Wolf's remarks will be followed by Sunil Iyengar, Research Analysis Director at the National Endowment for the Arts. Sunil Iyengar has produced dozens of research reports, hosted periodic research events and webinars, led strategic plan development for the agency, and established research and leadership partnerships with the U.S. Census Bureau and the Bureau of Economic Analysis. He and his team have partnered with organizations such as the Brookings Institution, the National Academy of Sciences, and the National Institutes of Health to study the arts in relation to such topics as economic development, health, and well-being. He will then introduce his team, and they will each present. We will have very brief concluding remarks by Dr. Melissa Gouge, who's a research analyst here at Office of Research and Evaluation, and then we will open this up for Q&A. We expect the presentations to last no longer than 45 minutes. But during the webinar, please feel free to ask questions or provide comments in the chat box, and we will get to those questions during the Q&A. I will now pass it to Dr. Stephen Wolf.
Good afternoon. I just want to say a couple of words about where we are in the United States with current health trends and the potential role of civic engagement in the arts in bettering our circumstances. Many of you have heard in the news that U.S. life expectancy has been decreasing for the past 3 years. this while other countries that have high income are continuing to see improvements in their life expectancy and spending less on healthcare. So there is tremendous interest in understanding how we can improve the nation's health, and that brings us to the question of what shapes health. We know that healthcare is important, but is actually a minor factor in understanding our health. Our health behaviors, such as smoking cigarettes or unhealthy diet, are probably more important in shaping our health. But we also know, as more research is being done, that our health is shaped very much by our environment. And that includes not only the physical environment, such as having sidewalks and playgrounds and healthy air, but also the social environment. And therefore, there's been growing interest on how social and environmental community conditions are responsible not only for health disparities that we see across population groups and geographic areas, where in some cities 15 or 20 year differences in life expectancy exist, but also how improving social capital and improving our social well-being can help close those gaps and improve our health. And the arts figure prominently as a potential strategy for creative expression, relief of stress, and increasing civic engagement and connectedness. The research is still building on this, but we feel that this is an important area for us to emphasize to try to improve the social well-being of our communities, families, and young people.
Okay, thank you so much for your comments and for all your work on this. So I will now pass this on to Daniel.
Thank you, Andrea. It's a pleasure to be able to present to you today, hosted by the Corporation for National Community Service. It's also good to be joined by the Deputy Director for Research and Analysis at the Arts Endowment, Patricia Moore Schaefer, and two research grant project directors of ours, Lynn Osgood and Kate Bukowski. Before I begin, I want to tell those of you who may not know, the National Endowment for the Arts is the country's lead federal funder of the arts nationwide. We seek to strengthen the creative capacity of our communities by providing all Americans with diverse opportunities for arts participation. Patricia Schaefer and I are in the Office of Research and Analysis, as you've just heard, where our mission is, through research, to expand public knowledge about the arts' contribution to individuals and society. As director of the office, I get to co-chair an interagency task force on the arts and human development, of which CNCS is a member. So this webinar opportunity came out of our work together. I'll start with an unapologetic plug. The title of this webinar is The Arts and Social and Civic Engagement and Innovation. So I thought I'd bite off the innovation part by telling you about a funding program we have for anyone watching who might be interested. Through the NEA Research Labs program, we award cooperative agreements and grants to transdisciplinary teams of researchers and arts practitioners who want to create and implement a multi-year research agenda around one of three topical domains shown here. We'll be releasing new application guidelines toward the end of this year for a March 2020 deadline. Awards typically total $150,000 each with a required $1 to $1 cost share. We hope to announce a new round of awards we've made soon, but as you can see, one of the categories for the Labs program is Arts and Civic and Corporate Entrepreneurship and Innovation. I want to call out in particular the work of two NEA research labs, one at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, which is a collaboration with the San Francisco-based Center for Cultural Innovation. They have been conducting several studies of artists' careers, the resilience that artists show during economic downturns, and how they innovate careers through crowdfunding platforms. But another part of their work focuses on how artists can contribute problem-solving skills to work environments, notably in the public sector. The other lab here at Vanderbilt is in partnership with several organizations, including the Arts and Business Council of Greater Nashville and with Northwestern University. This lab recently conducted a nationwide survey of arts-based creativity, but it also examined an entrepreneurship training program for artists in Nashville to learn whether and how artistic creativity translates to innovative business practices. You can learn more about these labs and their research products by going to arts.gov or looking up these labs' individual websites. Now I'll pivot to the other phrase in the title of today's presentation, social and civic engagement. You'll hear more about these themes through our next speakers, but first I wanted to suggest that for those of us who apply social sciences and behavioral research to the arts, There are many touchstones we often have recourse to when attempting to articulate the link between art participation and social and civic engagement. Through household surveys, such as the Survey of Public Participation in the Arts, which we co-sponsor with the U.S. Census Bureau, or longitudinal data sets maintained by the U.S. Department of Education, we've seen over and over that participation in the arts tends to correlate closely with social and civic activities. Generally, adults who go to live performing arts events, for example, are at least twice as likely as those who do not to volunteer in their communities after we control for socioeconomic and other factors. And youth from at-risk backgrounds who engage with the arts intensively in or out of school also show greater social and civic engagement than their non-arts engaged peers. Just as in young children, arts participation has been shown to be positively correlated with greater outcomes in terms of pro-social behavior. You also see, not only through survey data, but in discrete studies of older adults who participate in the arts, some of these same markers of social and civic engagement. And finally, the arts sector, it should be said, is thickly constituted with volunteers of all ages. In fact, according to a study we did a few years ago, the total dollar value of hours donated by all arts and cultural volunteers in the U.S. based on going wages for those same tasks can be estimated at over $13 billion. Patricia is going to hop on in a minute and talk about the Arts Endowment's creative placemaking work, but right around the time we were setting up our flagship program in this area, Our Town, we got wind of some survey results that the Knight Foundation and Gallup had produced. They surveyed nearly 14,000 people a year for 3 years in 26 communities nationwide. The results showed that the top three drivers of residents' attachment to their communities were the perceived openness or welcomeness of those spaces, the availability of social offerings, including the arts, and place-based aesthetics. Finally, I want to call out the work of Mark Stern and Susan Seifert, a research team at the University of Pennsylvania, who for the past several years have tracked arts indicators, but also social well-being indicators from a variety of secondary data sources grounded in qualitative research, and have done this for cities such as Philadelphia, Baltimore, and recently New York. Their data can tell you a lot about arts participation and social cohesion in those localities. We funded this team's work on a project called Culture Blocks, which examines those relationships at the street block level in Philadelphia. But another vehicle we can use to study the relationship of the arts to social and civic engagement is the Arts Endowments Research Grants Program. This is Plug 2. Now, I just told you about our labs, but these are project-specific grants to support studies of the value and impact of the arts for individuals and society. They range from $10,000 to $100,000 per award, and guidelines will be coming out later this year. Our website is loaded with examples of projects we've supported. Some of them are listed here. In the interest of time, I won't read these out as this presentation will be archived, but as you can see from a cursory glance, the topic of social and civic engagement figures prominently in many of these examples. And of course, we'll be hearing from two of our research grantees working in that space in just a moment. Now, as I wind up, I want to note that we've seen greater attention in the public sphere on how the arts can affect social determinants of health, including a sense of engagement with one's community. And Dr. Wolf just explained this very well. So these are two papers, publications I'd urge you to take a look at. One apparently just came out today. It's Creating Activity-Friendly Communities. And it was published by staff in our office and the Office of Design at the National Endowment for the Arts with staff from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's in the Journal of Physical Activity and Health. And another is a white paper that was produced by the University of Florida's Center for the Arts and Medicine with Art Place America called Creating Healthy Communities, a similar title, but it talks specifically about cross-sector collaborations to instill that can result in healthy communities through the arts. And finally, just wanted to tell you about a couple of projects that we are doing also in this space. One is actually in collaboration with several funders, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Kresge Foundation, Bush Foundation, Knight, and again, Art Place America, focusing on understanding, really developing a conceptual framework to understand the arts in place and how they relate to social cohesion and all the way through to health equity. This takes the form of interviews, document reviews, as well as and a literature scan. And we actually have had some workshops to discuss this work and to produce, to kind of field test it with practitioners in this area. And so we hope to produce the result sometime next year from this work that can particularly guide funders, but also practitioners in the space. And the second project is actually looking at the arts in terms of opioids and pain management and how what kinds of arts interventions rise above the full, rise above the pack in terms of evidence, and also to understand the relationship between the arts and not only substance abuse prevention more broadly, but also, as I say, pain management, which is, of course, critical to the opioids crisis. So thank you very much. With that, I will turn it over to Patricia.
Thank you very much, Sunil. I'm delighted to share now some highlights from our work at the Arts Endowment towards understanding the community-level outcomes associated with our National Creative Placemaking Initiative, Our Town. Our Town is the Arts Endowment's flagship creative placemaking program. Based originally on a white paper the Arts Endowment had commissioned from Ann Markison and Anne Guidewa Nicodemus, the original goal of Our Town was to stimulate investments in local communities, urban and rural, across the country to leverage place-based arts and cultural assets. As the program approaches its 10th anniversary, we've been focused on identifying how our investments are affecting communities. So let's start at the basics. What is creative placemaking? The Arts Endowment, through its Our Town guidelines, defines it as when artists, arts organizations, and community development practitioners deliberately integrate arts and culture into community revitalization work. Through project-based funding, the agency supports projects that integrate arts, culture, and design activities into efforts that strengthen communities by advancing local, economic, physical, and/or social outcomes. Successful Our Town projects ultimately lay the groundwork for systemic changes that sustain the integration of arts, culture, and design into local strategies for strengthening communities. Now, our town projects are highly varied, reflecting the needs and assets of the local communities. In this example, for example, the Arts Quest Our Town project, the former Bethlehem Steel Plant was transformed into a performing arts and independent film and jazz cafe. Outside of Washington, D.C., the New Hampshire Avenue project involved artists in community planning processes, such as these neighbors doing their own interpretive dance to inform the planning of the redesign of a nearby highway. And in North Carolina, Our Town supported the restoration of Bolas Simpson's 200-foot-tall whirligig, placing them in a new downtown park to create a new tourist site, and in the process, giving local unemployed residents new jobs and art restoration. With well over 300 grant projects awarded since the Our Town program began, the Arts Endowment was interested in harvesting the data to better understand how grantees implemented their projects, what were the common inputs into these projects, and what the common outcomes were. But how do you make sense of the diversity and creativity of these projects when each Our Town project is as unique as the community that developed it? The Arts Endowment convened a group of evaluation experts, mostly drawn from other federal agencies that had place-based initiatives. Electra acknowledged the support of Mary Hyde from the Corporation for National and Community Service for her invaluable contributions. This group of experts recommended that the Arts Endowment develop a theory of change that would help us to improve the tracking of outcomes. Through the support of our contracted researchers, we were able to generate a theory of change for Our Town to, again, help us understand more about our projects. In order to develop this theory of change, we first of all looked at our past grants. We looked at the strategies that have been used by our grantees as well as the outcomes that they were reporting. What we found in developing this theory of change with that, we also review the research literature to strengthen the model. And the model itself, which I'll walk through right now, has revealed a lot about how we understand this program and how it works. So again, looking at the model, we can see here, and I'm going to look at it from the top left, swinging to the right. We first of all can look at local inputs. What do we typically see in an Our Town grant project? We do see local leadership playing an active role, as well as the use of cross-sectoral partnerships. There are financial resources, of course, that are invested in these projects, including those of the Arts Endowment, but also other local financial resources. And, of course, community buy-in that we see from residents as well as from political leaders. Grantee projects look very different from place to place, but we do see some common overarching strategies. For example, we see communities that envision or imagine new possibilities for community or place. We see connecting strategies, strategies that connect communities, people with places. We also see illumination or highlighting of key community assets and issues, as well as adding or injecting new energy into resources, activities, and local place. The results of these strategies, increased integration of arts, culture, and design strategies in community development efforts, is theorized to lead to incremental local changes at the neighborhood or the community level. As creative placemaking continues to expand its reach in more communities, the vision is that we will begin to see a national impact, more use of the arts in a sustained way in community development efforts. The logic model that we developed for the Our Town Grant Program goes into more detail about how the program operates on the ground level. And I'm not going to go into this in great depth, but I do want to point out, for example, that when we take a look at community level change, we see change that is both economic change in terms of local business growth, as well as physical change projects such as beautification efforts. But of interest today, I'd like to highlight the social change that we see. For instance, improved social cohesion at the local level, as well as a greater sense of community attachment. In some cases, and often as an outgrowth of these other local changes, we see systems level change, a sustained change in the way the arts are utilized at the local level to support community development, the indicators of which may be long-term funding changes or policies that enable creative placemaking. We recently completed a survey of our Our Town grantees to validate this model, and we're expecting to make some minor adjustments to this model, but generally, this model was confirmed when we spoke to our grantees. Now, the value of this model is in terms of allowing us to track impact and outcomes. And to that end, I'd actually like to turn it over to one of our researchers who was supported by an Arts Endowment Research Grant, Kate Bukowski from East Carolina University. Kate?